The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you are enrolled in the school of discipleship with Jesus as your teacher, expect to fail. Sad, isn't it? Read all four Gospels, and you can count probably on one hand how many times the disciples are successful. How many times they manage to follow their mandate. And their mandate is, as is stated in the 9th chapter, first verse, you are to go and preach the good news. You are to go and heal the sick. You are to go and cast out demons who disrupt community and turn people against one another. That is your mandate. And over and over and over again, we disciples get into, as they said at the debates the other night, food fights. Today, we read about James and John, who are also known as the sons of thunder. And with thunder comes, and lightning is fire. So we get a picture of their temperament. Imagine Jesus picking guys like that to learn to be compassionate, to learn to turn the other cheek, to learn not to be resentful, revengeful. I mean, he picked a couple, didn't he? They're the guys who are always arguing about who's going to be first, who's going to be on the right side. What better people to be disciples than people like us? Now, maybe we're not calling down fire on those with whom we feel we have not been treated well, or her acting badly, but I'll bet you money we've kind of wished some bad stuff on people, huh? We use that expression, karma. And we hope that bad karma comes with bad karma. In the school of discipleship of Jesus of Nazareth, expect to fail. Now, I've got so many examples of that in my own life. I will share but one, because it also exemplifies wrath. One of my years as a principal, and I think it was within the first 3 years, we'd moved to our new campus, and I was very much about having an orderly campus where there was no violence and there was nothing that would lead to violence, and occasionally you'd run into a kid who didn't care what you thought, what the rules were, didn't care if you were going to call down fire from heaven because of their bad behavior. And I can remember dealing with one of those kids. I think he'd written some graffiti in the bathroom. And I was furious, because it was all about me. It was all about my control, my campus, my world. And in that moment, I was turning red in the face. I was really mad. And I went into my office and I sat down and I thought, why are you here? Who are you following? I went, whoops. I was there because it was part of what I felt was a vocation that I had learned about myself to follow. And to me, being a teacher in a continuation high school was my vocation. It was my call to discipleship. It was my responsibility to be as loving and generous and hospitable as I could be to kids who had nothing to lose. And therefore, they lost everything. It is to those in the world that Jesus came. And ultimately, we're all kind of like that kid, in that eventually life can beat it out of us. What are you going to do to me? What more? In the school of discipleship of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray to God that on his way to Jerusalem, where he will show the compassion and love of God and how wrong human beings can be about one another, he would bother to turn around and say, what are you doing, John, James? Have you not been with me? Didn't I give you the power and authority to go out and cure people? Wasn't that enough? Didn't I give you the power and commission and authority to cast out demons? Wasn't that enough? Didn't I tell you to love those to whom you were sent? Didn't I also tell you, back in the first part of the chapter of 9, that if you went to a place and they didn't show you hospitality, that the worst thing you could do was to knock the dust off your feet and leave? Not come back and ask about sending fire down on them. To be in the school of discipleship of Jesus of Nazareth is to pray to God that when we do those things that are not part of our commissioning, that are not under the authority of Jesus to heal and to bring together, that we will see Jesus turn and rebuke us. I often wonder what that rebuke was like, because they don't go into detail. But then he does go into a whole series of things about people wanting to follow him. And he says, you know what? If you follow me, just know that this Son of Man has no place to live. There's no place that I can call my home, because every time you claim a home, you seem to want to defend it against everybody else. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. If you want to follow me, you have to be light in the world. You have to be light in where you are. You have to be willing to give up. You have to be willing to follow me to Jerusalem. You have to be willing to go to the cross and to see in that moment the glory of God in your own failures. You're all enrolled in a wonderful school. The discipleship is lifelong. It seems like the older you get, sometimes you either get more cranky and less available and open, or your life splits open like a pomegranate. And you're ready to hear, and the word in Greek to hear is, and to obey is upomones. Akouo is to hear, upomones is to hear and obey. Acoustics, that's where the Greek word comes from, to hear, and to hear it so deeply that it sinks into your heart. And so the rebuke that may come to us has certainly come to me in that still small moment like Elijah in the cave after he had wiped out all the prophets of Baal. The moment came to him not in thunder and lightning and earthquake, but the rebuke was in a still small voice. Amen.